In this series, Hope in the Dark, we talked about how just when stuff happens, how do we deal with it? How do we reconcile this idea of believing God is good when life is not good? And I suggested last week to download the Bible app and walk through the Hope in the Dark devotional that you can get on the Bible app. I encourage you to be in the Word every day. One of our core values is spending time daily in prayer and Scripture. And this is one of the easiest ways that you could do it with your phone. It's right on there. You click on it. It'll send you daily updates to say, hey, don't forget this is what you need to do today. You can get connected with your friends. So if you don't read it, then one of your friends can text you and say, hey, have you read your Bible today? Because spending time daily goes to building those solid roots that we need to hold fast when the storms of life come. And last week we asked the question, we were wondering, are you there, God? And so many people ask that question because what you see does not match up with what you believe. What you see happening in the world around you, in your own personal life, is not matching up with what you believe. So you start to ask the question, are you there, God? Do you see me? And so we ended off last week saying you need to choose to wrestle and embrace and press on. Wrestling with God and embracing His truth and choosing to continue to walk through the valley. So visually that looks like this. You have three options. When the crisis of belief happens, you can either choose to give up, or you can choose just to deny it, like, this is just not happening, everything is good, everything is rosy, like, no problem, life is just going to happen, like, it's just fine, I'm good. That's denial. Or there's the third thing that we can do, the third option, which is press on. So we continue to step with God. Pressing on, because if you notice, you're going further down into the valley. You're going further down into the valley, but with the hope of knowing that you're going to have a more intimate relationship with God, because that's ultimately why we do what we do. I don't want a surface relationship with God. I want a deep relationship with God. I want to know God. And that means persevering. That means maybe giving up some of my own thoughts and my own wants, my own desires, so I can actually know God more. And that's the choice that we have to make in our crisis of belief. So we have the three choices. We give up, we forget about God, we deny. And the problem with denial is there's no growth in that. There's no intimacy in that. There's no hope in denying. Or we press on. So in this book of Habakkuk, doesn't really matter how you pronounce it, we're asking this question. We're wondering, are you there, God? Chapter 1, it's three chapters long. Wondering, are you there, God? Last week. This week, we're waiting. We are waiting on God. And the thing is, you have to wonder, you have to go through the wondering, and you have to go to the waiting to get to chapter 3, which is next week. So you need to come back for next week when we're talking about embracing God in the valley. So we're wondering, God, do you see me? Do you know what's going on? And now we're waiting. Chapter 2 says we are waiting on God. And there are three things that we need to do when we wait. Three. First one is we need to listen. Secondly, we need to write it down. And thirdly, we just simply have to wait. So when we wait, we need to do three things. We listen, we write it down, and we wait. And so we listen comes from Habakkuk 2, verse 1. It says, I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. I will wait to see what the Lord says and how He will answer my complaint. So to listen actually takes effort. Because did you see what he did? He says, I climbed up to my watchtower. Listening takes effort. I was at a wedding yesterday. My friend Heidi got married. And the family in the front row in front of me, there was two small kids, and I remember babysitting her mother, which is so exciting, when she was three, and now her daughter is three. And I remember, her name is Lydia, as I watched Lydia move back and forth, she would... All right, Carl, you need to stand up because I need, like, a dad. Okay, this is what she did. Look at me. Look at me. Like, she wanted, if dad was looking back and forth, then she would grab his face and, like, look at me. I want your attention. Right? You may sit down. But she would do that to me all the time when I would babysit her. And I watched now the daughter doing the same thing to her dad. When she wanted dad's attention, she grabbed his face. Look at me. Listen with your face. We've done this before, right? We listen with our face. It takes effort to listen. It takes effort to listen. It takes effort to listen. I'm a huge multitasker. I can probably do about three or four things at the same time and hear what you're saying. All right? But that's not what the person wants from me, though. The person who's talking wants my face to look at them. Listening takes effort. Habakkuk says, I climbed to the watchtower and I took my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says. So he actually made space to wait on the Lord, to listen to the Lord. And what's interesting, Jesus in the New Testament says, I encourage you to go into your closet and shut the door. Make space for the Lord so you can hear what he says, so you can listen with your face. So you can listen with your face. We close our eyes during prayer so we're not distracted by the world around us, so we can listen with our heart. Listening takes effort. So many people say, well, I want to hear from the Lord. I'm like, well, did you actually get quiet with the Lord? And they're like, well, I'm too busy. You cannot hear from God unless you make space for God. You have to put effort into it to hear from the Lord. Now, I have a warning about listening, because God might not tell you what you want to hear. Because something's going on in your life, and you might be saying, okay, yeah, it'll be gone tomorrow, but that might not be what God has to say. So I queued up another Craig Groeschel video, and once again, he's a little bit more intense than I am. All right? So this is what he has to say about the warning about when we want to listen to God. God doesn't always tell us what we want to hear. And then some of us want to put in the clause, but God, you know what I'm doing for you. You know how much I give to the church. You know how much I serve. You know what I gave up for you. What do you mean no? What do you mean? You told me to pray and I've prayed. What do you mean no? Do you not see what's going on, right? Last week wondering, do you not see? And I've asked, you told me to ask. Well, if I'm going to ask and get a no, then I'm just not going to ask, right? Some people, that's their mindset. They're only going to ask what they can get because they're concerned more about what they want for themselves rather than what God might want for themselves. And I remember a good friend of mine passed away in a traumatic car accident. And I remember praying fervently, praying, literally wrestling with God. And I believe I've told this story before. And I said, come on, God, do you not know what his family has done for you? Do you not know how he serves the church? And the Lord simply said, that is enough. My ways are higher than your ways. I know you don't understand, but the answer is no. We don't like hearing no. We don't like hearing no. I am the worst pouter in the entire world because I don't like no. And my parents would say no to me and I would pout. Oh, I was bad. And my little cousin has picked it up. for me. And I was like, Lord, I just prayed the good stuff. I just wanted to have the good stuff, not the pouting. But my parents would say no, and I would pout and pout and pout and pout and pout and till I got my way. That didn't make it right. I almost died one night because I went out on a snow-covered road, and Dad said no. And I actually accused him of being old and fuddy-duddy-ish. And so he let me go. And I remember that was probably one of the worst mistakes I ever made. God often says no to protect us from something greater and to lead us into something greater. But we don't like hearing the no because we want him to explain to us. Explain to me why you're saying no. Now, what's interesting is there's a story of Corrie Ten Boom, and she's asking her dad all these questions. She was a Jewish young lady during the Second World War when Jews were being taken out of their homes. And she's like, Dad, I don't understand. Why? What is going on? And because they were on their way somewhere, and the dad was carrying the suitcase. And he put the suitcase down in front of her, just like this is sitting here. And he said, Corey, I want you to lift that and carry it. And she went. She's like, Dad, it's just too heavy. I can't. And he's like, there are some things you cannot carry. And so I have to carry it for you. When I say no, it's because I love you. It's because I love you. So sometimes when God says no, the next one says write it down. The Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. Now the reason we write it down is because the enemy wants to steal the truth that God gives us. Because often when God says no, I have learned that there is a promise associated with it. Like when I asked him literally to raise my friend from the dead, he said, no, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are... He was calling me into relationship with him, trusting him that he had this situation. The enemy wants to come along and cause doubt and insecurity and all sorts of distrust. So we write it down. We write down what God has said to us. And so many times God has given me a word and I write it down so that when the enemy comes, that I'm being like, no, no, no. God said to me on whatever day, it's there. So I'm going to believe it because God is faithful. It says, let us hold fast to the promise of the hope that we have with unswerving faith. For he who promised is faithful. So we write it down because he'll see it through. We write it down. What's interesting, as I was discussing this at our staff meeting, Doug shared with me how during a season in his life, he wrote down his prayers to the Lord. He journaled with the Lord. He wrote it down. It is so important that we listen and we write it down when we're going down into that valley, when we're wondering, what God, are you there? And we're waiting. We need to spend time listening and we need to write down what God is saying to us. Because that is what keeps us moving forward. Even if it's the smallest step, is holding on to the promises that he gives us. So we write it down. We write it down. And then we wait. And nobody likes waiting. Nobody likes waiting. I'm in the car with Tegan. I'm taking her home from youth. She's like, there's this really cool new show on TV. It's on TV, 10 o'clock, Tuesday nights. And she's like, it's brand new. It's so good. And she's like, you know what? All the seasons aren't out yet. I went, it's brand new. There are no other seasons. She's like, well, I can't wait. I'm like, you're going to have to wait. It's season one. And she's like, and it's on 10 o'clock Tuesday night, so it's past my bedtime, so I have to wait till the next day. I'm like, all I could think about was when whoever shot JR, and we had to wait like 4 months. I know, I totally dated myself. I know. Maybe. I can't even say I watch it on Netflix because I don't have Netflix. But I remember everybody going, who shot JR? And we had to wait. We had to wait. I'm like, you're PVRing it. You're going to watch it maybe even tomorrow before you go to school. Relax. We don't like waiting. My grandmother made the very best bread ever. Ever. So she would make it, and she'd be like, okay, we got to put the yeast in it. I'm like, how long? She's like, until it's done. Waiting. Waiting. And so it would rise up, and she would make the little buns, and she'd put them in the containers. And I'm like, okay, we can eat it now. She's like, no, they have to rise again. I'm like, whoa. Grandma, I've already waited hours. She's like, no, you got to wait. And how long? Until it's done rising. Okay, so we wait. We go play. Come back. In the oven. Yes, we literally sat and watched like this, waiting for those buns to be done. And then the timer would go off. We're like, yeah, pull them out. Put them on. I'm good to go. Can I? No, you got to put the butter on it. Let the butter melt around in through the crevices. I'm like, but Grandma, want it now. She's like, nope, you got to let the butter melt. I'm watching. The butter is melting. Butter has finished melting. Yes, can I have it now? And she's like, no, they're too hot. You'll burn yourself. I've been waiting. I remember this so clearly. And obviously she felt that I wouldn't get the recipe right or nobody else would. She actually never passed on the recipe. I will never taste those buns again until I get to heaven. I'm going to be waiting for those buns again. But anyways, she'd be like, wait. Can I have one now? Yes. And the thing is, the best things are worth waiting for. My friend Heidi, who got married yesterday, has been waiting a long time to get married. I've walked with her through relationships, and we were waiting. I was waiting with her. She was just like, oh, what about this guy? And that would fall apart, and we'd talk it through. What about this guy? And that would fall apart. Another guy she was engaged to. Date was set. And that was not the right guy. And she was waiting. Waiting. So I asked her yesterday, I said, Heidi, how do you know it's Ryan? She's like, I know. There's no doubts this time. Because the best things are worth waiting for. The best things are worth waiting for. It's just really hard to wait. It is so hard to wait. And Job, a guy in the Bible, he has a whole book, had everything taken away from him. And he says this to the Lord. He said, lying in my bed, I think, when will it be morning? But the night drags on and I toss till dawn. He's waiting. Painful. It's painful to wait. King David, who wrote a lot of the Psalms, said, how long until you? Jeremiah, who wrote a whole book about lamenting because he was waiting on God, would say, how long? Waiting. How long? Because we ask that question, how long do I have to wait? How long? Because often, now as we learned last week, God gave an answer to Habakkuk saying, yeah, I'm going to do an amazing thing. I'm going to raise up your enemies. And he's like, what? You're supposed to be saving us. Do you know how bad they are? And so we start to ask the question, well, what about them? Right? It says, see, he, the Babylonians, is puffed up with his desire. And with puffed up with his desires and are not upright. But the righteous will live by his faith. The righteous will live by his faith. So Habakkuk is having this conversation with God. He's wrestling and embracing. And he's like, okay, I'll wait. But what are you going to do about them?
What are you going to do about them? And it's interesting because that passage actually walks through five woes that are going to happen to the Babylonians. But God is saying, don't worry about them, worry about yourself, because the righteous will walk by faith. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, every step, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Don't worry about everyone else. Worry about yourself and keeping in step with God. Don't worry about vindication of other people. When are they going to get theirs? Worry about walking in faith. Trusting me every step. What's interesting is I was having this conversation with Mom yesterday, and she's sharing a room with a lady whose husband actually is in the penitentiary. He's been there for 40 years. And so Mom's having this conversation, and this is what Mom says to me. She's like, I don't think I could do anything like that. And then she said, but God would help me if I had to. And we went through several parts of our conversation. She said, I don't think I could do that. But God would help. And what's interesting is that Habakkuk says the same thing. Look at this. Next. Remember three words. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. But the Lord. A wise woman once said to me, never say anything is impossible with God. Just say, but the Lord. That's the God card. Anything is impossible with the Lord. He can help us go through any situation. We just need to walk by faith. And I just say that so glibly. We just need to do this. That's where the wrestling and the embracing comes in. Our faith needs to be based on the character of God, and that's where spending time daily is so important. We need to know the character of God. And you know that by opening this up and reading it, or opening up that Bible app. You need to know the character of God. That comes by spending time daily with him in prayer, in scripture, getting alone, listening with your face, writing it down, so that when the enemy comes, he can't steal it away. Because then you'll say, but the Lord said to me. A friend of mine, her husband left her, and she spent time with the Lord. And he said, very clearly, you will be reunited with your husband. I just need you to wait. Pretty sure she waited at least 10 years. And my heart broke for her. Because it's like, really? Why? But this is where, as soon as we start asking why, it's because we're seeking understanding rather than trusting God. And I'm learning more and more that when God says wait to me, it's because he's working on somebody else's heart. He's working on somebody else's heart. And this person needs to make a decision before this person can respond, which affects me. So if any of you got touching your heart on something, would you just get on with it so we can get on to things, okay? All right. If you feel God touching your heart and you keep saying no to him, I want you to understand that maybe you're putting the brakes on something else that somebody is waiting for. Because maybe you're the answer. We wait. Because I believe that God is writing this story that he wants all people to be saved. So maybe he's actually waiting for you before we can move forward, before I can move forward, before your family can be forward. He's waiting for you. Maybe there's a sin to confess. Maybe there's a decision to be made, but you just keep putting the brakes on, saying things like, I don't think so, or I don't know how this will work out, or I don't want to. And so God waits, because he's a good waiter. He can wait for a long time. We're the problem. We struggle with waiting. But the Lord is in his holy temple. He's still king, whether we want to say he is or not. Whether we choose to honor him or not, he is still the king, and he will wait
on us. He will wait on us. Habakkuk means to wrestle and embrace. So I don't know what you're wrestling with. I don't know what you're embracing this morning. But we have all had to make that choice of, am I going to willfully choose to follow God wherever He leads, knowing that He will be my help, or will I just forget everything, or will I just stand firm? Like, stand firm in the sense I'm not moving from this place. But without movement forward, we actually can't embrace the fullness of what God has for us. The depth of intimacy. We need to wrestle. We need to embrace. We need to hold on to what God is saying to our hearts when we take that step down into the valley. Because God's delays are not God's denials. Okay? God's delays are not God's denials. Like I said, He's probably waiting on us. For such a time as this, He said to Esther, that's why you have been raised up. And she changed the course of the nation. That's a story in the Old Testament. There's a whole book written about her. For such a time as this, she made a choice to follow God while people were waiting. God's delays are not His denials. So maybe while you're waiting on God, God is waiting on you. And so here we are. I call it a God moment because we have a choice. We have a choice to actually do what God is asking us to do, because maybe He's saying, I've been waiting for you to say yes to me. Maybe you've never accepted Christ into your heart, but you know He's been asking you to. He's been drawing you and you've just kept putting it off. But maybe today is the day. He's waiting for you. Because He wants everyone to be saved, not just the good people, not just the pretty people, not just the poor people, everyone. So is He waiting on you this morning? Or are you waiting on God? Is there an answer that you've been waiting for and you just need some more help? But the Lord part? Maybe you just need more help in the waiting this morning. This is where, like I said, the God moment happens, the conversation that we have with God. You can have it in a couple of places. You can have it here at the prayer rail where we invite you to come if you're wrestling with something. Our family will gather around you. Maybe you want to wrestle it out in your chair with the Lord, spending time there, just having that conversation. Maybe you don't want to come forward by yourself, and so you just, the person beside you, and say, hey, would you come forward with me? I need to get to that spot, but I can't do it on my own. That's what we do, because we're unified as a family. We do stuff together as a family. And even if you don't know the person beside you, them anyways. I need to get to that spot. I don't know what you're waiting for this morning. Last week we're wondering, God, are you there? And this week we're waiting. Like, hurry up, God, what are you doing? But we cannot get chapter 3 without chapter 1 and chapter 2. We cannot truly embrace God until we have sought Him out, wrestled with Him, and waited on Him. And then God meets with us. We have to acknowledge the wrestle. We have to acknowledge the waiting, and God will meet with us. So that's what this time is all about. We're gonna sing. We're going to think about the words. But if you feel God calling you to either make a first-time commitment to Him, to renew your relationship with Him, or maybe just to lay it on the line with God, then you come forward. And we're going to pray for you. And if it's something totally, maybe something else is on your heart, but you still need to come forward, and then you come forward too. All right? This is a place that is open to anyone who has a need. Anyone. No matter what the need is. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You, and some of us have been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and we're tired of waiting. But the wait's not over. So we need You. We need Your help.
And Lord, maybe you're waiting on us. Maybe you're waiting for us to confess a sin, to actually give you lordship of our life, maybe to come to you to say, I need you. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm not right with you. But I have this sense of being drawn forward. If that's you this morning, if you have this sense of being drawn forward, well, then don't hold back. You follow. You follow that leading of the Holy Spirit. So, Father God, I'm so glad that you wait with us. Help us to listen. Help us to write down your truth. And then help us to wait in hope with you. In your name, amen.